Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. One of the busiest places in our region over the next several days and throughout the holiday season will be Lambert St. Louis International Airport. Tens of thousands will come and go through Lambert, and as part of St. Louis's Public Radio's How We Move project, in which we've been looking at the region's transportation and infrastructure, how Lambert is stacking up and holding up is our subject today. We put the lens on Lambert, the role it plays, will play, and can play as a productive regional asset. Joining me in studio is Rhonda Hamnebrigge, is the Director of Airports and Chief Executive Officer at Lambert St. Louis International. Tim Nowak is Executive Director of the World Trade Center of St. Louis. Joining us in a few minutes will be Dan Meehan, Chairman of the Midwest China Hub Commission and President and CEO of the Missouri Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Thank you both for being with me in studio, and Dan, we'll get to you in just a couple of minutes. Thanks to you for being with us. Rhonda, I'd like to begin with you. I assume you're ready for the onslaught, which I gather has already begun.
We are, and actually this is our favorite time of the year because we love to see all the people coming through. So we had a really strong, starting with Sunday going into today, really strong days, and most of our operations went very well. I mean, there was some weather across the country, and we had a few cancellations, but as a whole, we did very well. Today was just fabulous because we're booked with about 25,000 departing passengers, so you take the arrivals, and we've got 50,000 people coming through the airport. Tomorrow morning will be busy. Saturday's pretty quiet. Friday's very quiet. And then Sunday, the biggest day of the year as always. So looking forward to it. Lots of things. The airport looks great. It's clean and lots of updated things. And we've got our holiday decorations out and we've got some festive music. So it's nice.
You're ready to go.
We are.
You know, I'm surprised you're saying that, that the disruption is less than some people might have imagined, given what's going on the East Coast. I mean, certainly it's affecting people who want to travel that way from St. Louis and vice versa.
It is, but I tell you, the impact to us has really been minimal, which we've been thrilled about. I mean, when we saw the big ice storm in Dallas, we only had four cancellations for the day. Two were Dallas, two were Oklahoma. And as of today, when I left, unless something's changed in the last hour, we only had one cancellation to the East Coast. So there were some delays getting into it, but because the flights are full, and there's no alternative. Mm-hmm. The airlines are certainly trying to get them all out. And so you may see delays going to the East Coast, but we've been able to get all of them except for one that they had to cancel that just couldn't get the slot.
So, and are all the television reporters out there already?
Yes, we've seen quite a few of them. Yeah, we've seen quite a few.
That's as much of the tradition of this season as the turkey is,
yeah,
I'm sure.
It's true.
I have something here that I'll mention, and I'm sorry to have to do this, but there was an article in the Daily Beast this week. I don't know if you're familiar with it, citing St. Louis Airport as one of the 20 worst for Thanksgiving travel. It was right in the middle at number 10. Arrivals delayed in 2013, 19%. Departures delayed, 21%, both about 5, 6% above last year. What do you think when you hear numbers like that, and what could be done about it?
Well, I didn't read that particular one, but, you know, I'm not sure where the statistics come from. What the challenge that we see probably with the delays are not based from our operation here in St. Louis or the weather here in St. Louis, but because we do operate from a lot of the large hubs. You know, if you look at the legacy carriers and they have a lot of their operations into their large hubs, when there's system weather, those hubs are the heaviest impacted. That delays those flights departing there all day and obviously arriving into our city. So I don't look at it as a reflection of St. Louis's operation or the airport or where we sit or our weather patterns. It really is a result of the large hubs around the country, which we are heavily you know, we operate from out of St. Mm-hmm. Louis based on the operation that we have today. And that impacts cities like ours greater than others.
And it's the airline's responsibility to arrive and leave on time.
It is. I can tell you the only time we have closed our airport in the 4 years I've been there was when the tornado hit back in 2011. So other than that, we actually had a great weather year last year. You know, until March of last year or until March of this year, we rarely had even any sort of issues with weather. So March, we got hit with those late snowstorms, but we never had an operation closed. We kept open the entire time and had very few issues. So it really is driven by the airlines and how they're operating out of their hubs. And if those hubs are heavily impacted, that's going to impact our operation.
Sure. I want to bring the gentleman into the conversation as well. But before I do, let me just ask you the same question I'll be asking them with regard to this airport as an asset and its importance. How do you describe that when people ask?
You know, to me, it's one of the greatest assets, not only in the region, but for the entire state. So we're the largest airport operation in the state of Missouri. You know, we have 13 million people a year that we bring in and out of this airport. That's a significant amount of revenue. And we generate, just on a pure airport standpoint, about $170 million in revenue, you know, to operate from the airport. But when you look at all the auxiliary jobs that are created, when you look at the businesses that are created as a result of having the airport, when you look at the competition that it puts us in terms of being able to attract new business, it absolutely is one of the greatest assets in the region. And we just, I think, as a community need to pull together and understand how we make it a better asset and how we can all, you know, look at it from the positive side and not the changes in a negative approach.
Are we ahead of where we were or behind where we were when TWA had its hub here?
In terms of finances, in terms of activity?
In terms of general operation.
Well, in terms of general operations, no. I mean, in our heyday, we had about 500 departures a day. Right now, we're operating about 265 departures a day. So, no, we are not. But I think if you look at the airport as a whole, it actually is a much better airport. The customer experience, you know, if you remember in the days of TWA, we did not have the opportunity because of space to have amenities. I mean, we had a hot dog stand and we had a couple small pizza stands. Today, we have great restaurants. We have great shops. We have art galleries. I mean, we have a different experience today. So the challenge is people still want the nonstop activity, and it's something we have to look at and work on every day to try to ensure that we're getting the best that we can. But I think the airport as a whole, today people feel much better about what the airport is and the role we play in the region. Still growing on the traffic side, though.
We have some comments from some of our listeners on Facebook that I'll be reading to you a little bit later, and we can get to your comment to some of their comments at that time. But, Tim Nowak, let me turn to you. The same question that I just asked Rhonda with regard to your assessment of the importance of Lambert to this community.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity to be here again on the show, Dan. Always appreciate it. And I'll let Rhonda does a good job of speaking to the numbers and the impact that Lambert here has on the region. But, you know, I would take a step back and talk about it in terms of what an airport means to St. Louis and in what we want to be as a global city. Recently, the Brookings Institute released a study, and it was the traits of a globally fluent metro area. And interesting enough, one of the most important traits of a globally fluent metro area is international connectivity, the point-to-point movement of people and goods. And so the idea that what Lambert represents to this community is just that. And we know that our international connectivity and our connectivity here domestically as well, it's really based on where Lambert is. That's why years ago when we sat down as a group and started looking at ways of attracting international freight, we identified that opportunity as being a key component to St. Louis's efforts to truly internationalize itself without the effective movement of people and goods, we don't have the full complement of resources and infrastructure to offer companies who may consider St. Louis as an option from which to do business.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to bring Dan Meehan into the conversation now. He's chairman of the Midwest China Hub Commission and president and CEO of the Missouri Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Dan, that interconnectivity is not going to include the China Hub that was talked about so much. What is the status of that? Is that a dead deal?
Actually, Don, it's not dead, and it has transformed from being what we called at one point the Midwest China Hub Commission, but now it's the Midwest Hub Commission, because Rhonda and her team have done extraordinary efforts to try to market the airport and the gateway in and out of the Midwest around the world. So we are focusing on any opportunities that are out there to, as Tim said, re-internationalize the airport and open it up to air cargo like we've never seen it. The market's going to come back for that, and I think we are positioned as a player, although the China Hub, while it didn't end up bringing consistent, reliable flights in and out of China to St. Louis, but it puts St. Louis and the region on the world stage for that. So it's something that's still alive, but the marketing has shifted from trying to just establish that air bridge to China to be open for other opportunities, whether they be from South America, Europe, or Asia.
South America is something that isn't generally mentioned, but it did come up during the whole China Hub conversation because it would represent two-way traffic and goods coming from Latin America through Lambert, presumably, and then on to China, which would be a very, very big deal, wouldn't it?
That's correct. And you can't get there from there. You need to stop somewhere in North America to refuel. So it's natural to open up the Midwest, and the business case for making Lambert a cargo hub hasn't changed. We have a great location that nobody can take away from us. We have lower costs and we have capacity. So there is a market here for those that want to try to look at it for importing. There's obviously a robust export market. You don't have to go too far to find out that the key to economic growth in the nation will be, one key will be exports. So we want to position Lambert with that essential connectivity that helps cargo, but also helps business. You need to get places quickly and efficiently, and that if we grow the cargo market, the passenger market should follow as well.
Yeah,
Tim, obviously everybody's on the same page on that.
Mm-hmm. We absolutely are. And I'll just build on something Dan had mentioned. You know, we began this original discussion some 5 years ago focused on China. And it made sense because China is our largest air freight trading partner. But it was never to end with China. I think Rhonda brought that vision in as well, that the idea, the vision was you get a deal done with our largest trading partner and others will come. Other markets, other carriers, you know, Latin America and so forth would evolve. And it is still very much the strategy to go out and develop cargo connections in Asia and in South America. And I just make one other point that, you know, there was a deep, longstanding connection in many different areas from our universities, from a sister city relationship. St. Louis has the very first sister city relationship with the People's Republic of China in the United States. And so there was a lot of groundwork laid by many people to develop relationships with China. This idea of air freight connections was just building on the work of many. And while the flights right now are not going, we're still seeing the results of a lot of that work. Today, St. Louis is one of five metro areas in the entire United States that has China as their largest trading partner. We export more to China than we do to Canada or to Mexico. Nearly 20% of St. Louis's exports go to China. And so this very much was about an export opportunity for businesses here in some of the fastest growing markets in Asia.
That's going to come as news to a lot of people who are just fixed on the China hub thing and where that is or was and not recognizing that the trade is ongoing.
It was never just about airplanes.
Yeah. I have to take a break. I want to talk about picking up some cargo trade with Mexico in just a moment. We'll do that with Rhonda Hamdebrigi, who is the director at the airport, St. Louis International Airport, Lambert, as we all know it. Dan Meehan is with us also. He is the, let's get this right, the Midwest Hub Commission, I guess. Right? We'll leave China out of that. And Tim Nowak is with us also. Tim is Executive Director of the World Trade Center here in St. Louis. Back to continue the conversation in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back as we continue our conversation about the role that Lambert Airport plays in our community. I have with me in studio Rhonda Hamdebrigi, the Director of Airports and Chief Executive Officer at Lambert St. Louis International Airport, the full and official name of that facility. Tim Nowak is with us, Executive Director of the World Trade Center in St. Louis. And joining us by phone is Dan Meehan, President and CEO of the Missouri Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Rhonda, back to you with regard to what's going on with Mexico. I know nothing has been finalized yet, but it looks pretty promising.
It does. I mean, I think one of the things that Mexico has looked at for a number of years now is trying to put a cargo customs facility in the U.S. There is one approved that's in Laredo, Texas, which is for trucking only across the border. And we were fortunate, based on all the publicity we had gotten with trying to create their national cargo hub, where a company came to us and said, we think this may be a partnership. So we actually been working with them for about a year, looking at the potential and what it means, and decided to move forward and try to get the approval from the Mexican customs, which then we would come to the U.S. Customs for after that. But it really starts with Mexican Customs saying, yes, we want to have this facility in St. Louis. So we've been working on that. And what it would essentially do is allow all cargo that is currently leaving the U.S., going into Mexico, to come through this facility. But more importantly, for the cargo that is being cleared, it's cleared here. So there, it takes away a lot of the concern and some of the issues that exist today. There's only a handful of spots where international cargo can go into Mexico today. This would allow cargo leaving the U.S. to Mexico to go to its final destination wherever it is throughout the country.
And we're talking about a lot of cargo from what I've seen.
We're a significant amount of cargo, as Tim can tell you through the World Trade Center numbers. And we're very grateful to them because they pull all these numbers for us. But the numbers coming in and out of Mexico are great, and they're getting stronger and stronger every day, especially with the auto industry. We see a lot of movement of the parts going to and from up to the Detroit area, and we're a perfect pathway for that. So it's a growing country that we're doing trade with in terms of both the imports and the exports, and we would be the first in the country to have the air cargo piece of it. So we think it would really put us on the map.
Tim, your thoughts about that?
Oh, it's a competitive advantage is what it offers up, and it's a faster, more effective way for companies here to export their product to Mexico and markets beyond, and likewise in bringing product in for final assembly manufacturing that's done here. Rhonda's right. In no small part because of the NAFTA agreement that we have, because Mexico is our neighbor to the south, we trade a tremendous amount with Mexico, so what this sort of deal would offer would be an advantage for businesses here, but it would also attract users of this from a larger catchment area far beyond our own region.
So where are we in the process in terms of finalizing the agreement?
The Mexican Customs is looking at our proposal. It's anticipated that we'll probably make a trip down there in January to make a formal oral presentation to them. We would like to think that we would get approval from them somewhere, in the first 6 months of next year to be able to do this. Then we have to work with U.S. Customs and obviously the facility. We do have two existing facilities in our Cargo City area that would be utilized for at least the early operations, say, for the first couple of years until it grew beyond their capacity. But we'd like to think that, in the next year and a half or so, we could be well on our way with this. It's not a guarantee. It's another one of those projects that is time-consuming, and at the end you hope that it comes through. But we would not see the facility open in 2014. We would be looking to 2015 before a facility would be opened.
Dan Meehan, I would guess that if this deal can be pulled off, that it could serve to attract other countries, perhaps, as we've been talking about earlier, to come into this area.
What a way to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the NAFTA agreement, which we'll have next year. And we've seen a growth of manufacturing opportunities that have been brought back to North America, Mexico, no exception. And like we said earlier, I think it was Tim, when we started, it was the Midwest China Hub Commission, but the idea was once we get that first reliable, dependable flight in to establish that connectivity, more would come. And it definitely got noticed. So when this comes to fruition, it should send a message globally that St. Louis is here to play in a global economy.
If you build it, they will come. Where have I heard that? Where have I heard that before? Dan, while you're here, and I know you only have a couple more minutes with us, what about the legislature's role in all of this, and how active is the chamber in working with that body?
That's what we do. So we work with the legislature to try to get pro-business initiatives passed, and unfortunately, we have been stymied over the last few years with the lack of agreement on how to move forward with any economic development package, and it all hinges on how to reform our tax credit system, on specifically on historic preservation and low-income housing tax credits. The state's budget is improving. There is talk of a special session that may be called as soon as next week to look at the opportunity that is presenting itself via Boeing, expanding the Dreamliner manufacturing capabilities. Hope springs eternal, but it's been frustrating. Legislators generally get the idea that, you know, China's going to be around tomorrow. The global trading is going to increase. I like to ask the question, over the next 5, 10, 25 years, are we going to increase, decrease, or stay the same in our exports globally? And everybody always wants to say we're going to increase it. Well, establishing a Midwest hub for air cargo would only enhance that. So it's been frustrating, but we'll be back at it come January or sooner, as it turns out, with this potential special session.
Is there any kind of a dollar figure that's associated with the things that we're talking about here with the increased hub activity? Do you know, Dan or Rhonda, or even Tim?
Our incentive package established tax credits, if I remember right, Rhonda, Tim, join in, $8 million a year.
Right, it was $60
million.
The tax credit that we were looking at for the freight forwarder, which is to give incentive to the freight forwarder, not to the international airlines, but to the freight forwarder to move that product through St. Louis versus one of the alternative cargo hubs today, until you get sort of a mass, there is, you know, some additional cost that freight forwarders see to move that. So we were looking for a $60 million spread over an 8-year, with a cap being $8 million a year, and then it lessened as the time went on.
And, Don, if you look at the tax credit programs that the state operates, that's not a big one at all.
No, it's kind of a cutting off your nose to spite your face situation, it seems to me, because we're talking about some considerable revenues coming in through these processes.
You absolutely are, and you're looking at, you know, this $8 million over several years. It's targeted, as Rhonda said, to the freight forwarders. On a per kilo basis. So it's a reimbursement to the freight forwarders based on the freight that they would send directly through Lambert to foreign markets. And so nothing's paid out without any international activity going on here. Mm-hmm. So it really, you know, it's a very small package to help support any new routes that we're able to develop here.
Well, and I think, if I may, Don,
one
more thing to understand about why the cargo piece is attractive. I understand from a consumer standpoint, people are interested in the passenger side. But what you have to realize is what the value of cargo large aircraft brings to Lambert, and that is landing weight that helps us to reduce our overall landing fee. And that then becomes a more attractive result when you're talking to airlines about passenger activity, to say we have a lower cost as a result of this. The other thing that cargo brings is it brings with it development. When you have international cargo activity, you have brokers on your fields, you have businesses that are trading in that commodity that want to be located near and by. So it brings that development opportunity that today we don't see.
Did I see the figure 1 million pounds? It's an unusual way to put it, but 1 million pounds of cargo from Mexico or to Mexico through what is being talked about with the Mexican people?
If you look at a flight, and it depends on the type of aircraft, and everything on the cargo side is measured more in kilo than we talk about bands.
That's
why I thought
it was
unusual. So you've got to do the conversion piece.
This was a news article I read, and that was an unusual way to put it.
And the initial planes coming out of Mexico wouldn't be your 777s. They would be more your probably 757 aircraft, or maybe your 76. But they then allow for that growth expanded into the markets from Asia, India, Africa that are trying to get into that market with the larger aircraft. So I'm not sure what figure that was reporting, but on a given aircraft coming in, if it's full, you could see a significant amount of kilos coming in on those. So, sure.
Okay. Well, Dan, anything you'd like to add before we say goodbye to you?
Just that the cargo piece, like Rhonda says, is essential, and that efficient connectivity is very important for business decisions of where to locate, where to expand. So I just wholeheartedly support the concept that Lambert is a huge asset for economic development for the region, and anything we can do to help make that better, we should do it.
We'll be watching your work with the legislature to that end come January. Dan Meehan, thanks so much for being with us. Dan is president and CEO of the Missouri Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Don. Happy Thanksgiving to all.
Same to you. Same to you. We have to take another break. Let's do that now. We'll come back and continue our conversation about St. Louis International Airport as an asset to our community. We'll do that in just a moment and take your calls, too. You can give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. We'll take an email at talk at stlpublicradio.org. And, of course, we'll take a tweet at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back. We'll continue our conversation about Lambert Airport as an asset to this community and to this region in just a moment. But here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. Governor Jay Nixon is pitching his plan to lure a new Boeing Company aircraft plant to Missouri at this hour in Clayton. Nixon is delivering a luncheon speech to St. Louis business and civic leaders hosted by Progress 64 West, a group that promotes development along the Interstate 64 corridor. He met privately with Boeing executives last week as Missouri competes with at least five other states to produce the Boeing 777X commercial airplane. And hunters in Missouri shot 23% fewer deer during the recently concluded firearms season. About 157,000 deer were killed. Officials say that was down 23% from last year and 24% below the past 10-year average. They say the decrease is partly the result of last year's unusually severe outbreak of hemorrhagic diseases and the abundance of acorns this year. You can hear more about these stories and more this afternoon on St. Louis Public Radio and throughout the day at stlpublicradio.org. Well, Governor Nixon's working hard to bring some more airplanes to St. Louis, but he wants to bring them through the construction phase, needless to say. I'm surprised you're not there, Rhonda.
I am involved with this group, lots of things going on, but you know, there's some things I can excuse myself from, and this was one. So,
and you got an early start today, I understand,
yes, we do.
Because of the traffic. What is the impact likely to be here, Rhonda, of the merger between American Airlines and US Air?
Well, the good piece is in this particular merger, like the last two we've seen with the Delta Northwest and United Continental, is there is no overlap of markets. So American operates to six different markets out of here. U.S. Air operates to five different markets. So you look at the combined, and now you have 11 markets, none of which are overlapped. That's a good thing for St. Louis. You would hope I don't want to get people's expectations up that we would see significant increase in traffic. They're going to have eight hubs between the two. That's a lot of hubs that they'll be serving. But I think we could see some upgauge of aircraft, especially on the U.S. Air market. They operate with a lot of regional jet activity today. So if that consumer base now is combined and they see more people flying, then it does make sense that we could see some upgauge of aircraft on some of the markets.
And, Tim, I mentioned the governor and what he's up to right at this very moment. This is somewhat of a digression from what we're talking about, except that it does involve airplanes. But this is something you're obviously looking at as a very important deal.
Oh, absolutely. The entire region has to see this as a tremendous opportunity. You know, we have a long storied history through McDonnell Douglas, of which, interesting enough, my father was an engineer there for 42 some odd years. But through McDonnell Douglas and then the merger with Boeing, we've had a long history of manufacturing on the military side. What a unique opportunity this would present for St. Louis to be engaged on the commercial side and to be a part of manufacturing what is the future of commercial aircraft, commercial aviation, this 777X.
That's a big deal. No, no question about it. Let's bring some of the listeners into the conversation. We'll start with Dick, who's calling from the Central West End. I think I know who this might be. Right. Go ahead, Dick. We've already guessed who you are. I think it's Dick Fleming, right?
Ron, yeah, it is. And hi, Ron. Hi, Tim. Don, you asked a question earlier of what would the impact economic benefit have been from the hub as we had originally envisioned it. And I had occasion to recently share with Rhonda a piece that was published from Dallas-Fort Worth that's kind of instructive. The number that was projected by the firm in Princeton that did the independent analysis of the China hub here, or we called the Aerotropolis, was for an economic impact of $19.5 billion and just under 14,000 permanent jobs, about 24,000 construction jobs. Interestingly enough, and that's what Missouri unfortunately passed on, and we did not realize, but Dallas has recently gone forward with their version of an Aerotropolis, and they published some data 2 weeks ago that indicated that their economic impact is forecast to be just under $32 billion, tens of thousands of jobs, and most relevant, and mentioned this to Rhonda the other day, they forecast that the revenues and economic benefits from the cargo part of the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport will be substantial enough in the near term that they can reduce to zero the cost to passenger airlines, which would have a very beneficial impact, obviously, on continuing to grow their passenger service. And arguably one of the benefits that that I know Rhonda is working on is to try to dramatically increase what is a very small amount of revenues today coming from cargo so that it can balance the fees that we charge to passenger carriers. She might want to comment on that.
I'm sure she will. Dick, thank you so much for the call. Rhonda, I'm reminded of a comment by Senator Everett Dirksen of Illinois some years ago in which he said, you talk about $1 billion here and $1 billion there. Pretty soon you're talking about some serious money.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, and that's been the hard sell to a lot of people because we all want passenger traffic. We want the nonstop service to markets that we were used to. But the benefit of what cargo can bring in terms of helping us to reduce our cost, I alluded to earlier, is a significant opportunity for us to be able to attract more passenger traffic. You know, there's two things that you need to attract more passenger traffic. Demand is the number one, so you have to have people in the seats. But with that, the airlines are also obviously very cost conscious today. And so we do have a high landing fee here. We know it. It's not a secret. It's not the only thing airlines look at, but it is a piece of that. Today, cargo represents 2%. I said we generate about $170 million a year in revenue out of Lambert. Cargo is 2% of that. So if you take airports like Memphis or like Indianapolis or like Louisville, which have significant UPS or FedEx domestic operations, they're generating 60% of their fees from cargo. So for us at an airport this size with the kind of runway capacity we have, 2% is almost an embarrassment. So we can generate a lot of revenue to help us reduce our costs, to make us more competitive. So as the traffic demand grows, the cost competitiveness is there as well.
But none of these things can be done overnight. I mean, clearly we're talking, you know, months and months and sometimes years just to get a deal.
This has always been a long-term play. And I think that the numbers that Dick referenced here further illustrate the original vision that this was never just about air freight. Air freight for us was a unique hook because of what Lambert represented, the opportunity, the capacity that Lambert had, the developable land, all of it foreign trade zone designated, all were resources, all were part of the deal that that in the long run, it was about attracting business here for that would use the air freight for manufacturing, for final assembly, and then either re-exporting it to other markets in South America, or bringing it into the United States. And so it was a way the whole initiative really was a way of looking at where do we want to be 10, 20, 30 years from now? What does St. Louis want to be? Do we want to be an engaged community on the global scale? Do we want to be a part of what is very much a global economy? And that's what this was about and still is about, quite frankly.
I'm reminded of how St. Louis missed the boat more than a century ago. And now we have Chicago being what Chicago is and St. Louis being what St. Louis is. I'd like to change the subject. I think we established the importance of cargo to Lambert and to the community. But we asked some of our listeners through Facebook to get some comments and improvements they would like to see, Rhonda. You've got a big smile on your face. I think you know what's coming. Maureen writes, free Wi-Fi. They want free Wi-Fi at Lambert.
I gave it to them November 2nd.
Okay, Maureen, take that.
These are easy.
I guess Maureen hasn't been flying recently.
Yeah, November, we instituted a program. I do have to put a little clarification on it. The first 20 minutes is free at Lambert. We heard that loud and clear from the customers. Obviously, it's a cost to us at the airport, and it was a source of revenue that also came in to us from the contract that we had. We heard the customers loud and clear. We looked at it, and we went to a system that allows the consumer for the first 20 minutes to use free Wi-Fi wherever you are in our airport.
Okay, you can answer most emails within 20 minutes, I would guess. But okay, Maureen, there you go. Ken writes, better access to Metrolink, faster delivery of baggage to the claim area, and bring in more, this is a good one, bring in more airlines and convince the current carrier to relocate a hub to Lambert. That's certainly easier said than done. Yeah. But what about the baggage and the Metrolink connections?
Well, on the Metrolink connection, I think we have probably the easiest connection in most airports that I've seen. So we have I will say in Terminal 1, the main terminal, the Metrolink is right upstairs. So it's a very easy connection. In Terminal 2, you do have to traverse through the garage at the Metrolink station. And that's just from a pure logistics standpoint, there was no way to put the rail system next to the terminal, so it's in the garage. So I'm not sure what connectivity they're looking for, but we have a huge ridership of Metrolink. It's a great asset for us. Baggage delivery has been an ongoing thing for years that I've heard complaints about. I will say I've heard fewer and fewer of those in the past year. It's always driven by the more full the airplane is, the more baggage you have to unload, and it's the amount of crews you have unloading the airplanes. It's not the baggage system that goes round and round and round that is the cause of the delays. So, and I take this on with a big heart because I know I went on the airline side, it was always a complaint I had to deal with, and it was.
Sure.
But we continue to work in partnership with the airlines to make sure they understand the complaints coming in from consumers and that baggage delivery is a huge, huge issue on their mind. And I will say I've seen those reduce.
We've had Gene, Michael, and Nancy also wrote concerning the Metrolink connection, by the way, and also the baggage. But Essia writes, connected terminals, the TSA agents don't even check if you're going into the right terminal.
Well, when they check your boarding pass, you do have to be departing into the correct concourse for that. So they do check. I mean, they don't ask you what terminal you're going into. They take a look at the boarding card to ensure that. So, there could be an opportunity where one gets missed here or there. But the boarding pass will tell you which terminal you're in, and they do have to check that.
Has security been increased following the shooting of the TSA agent out west a couple of weeks ago?
Not the number of security, but certainly the way we look at security. So we have always staffed it here at Lambert, police officers at our security checkpoint. We have heightened that a little bit, made them more visible. They were there before, but they were kind of in the background. So we've made them more visible at the security checkpoints. We also do a lot more of you'll see dogs throughout our terminal and sniffing dogs looking for various activity. And so, it's one of those things that anytime there's an incident, you have to be a little bit more heightened and aware. But I will say that we had all the measures in place before that.
Tim, you're standing by here.
Rhonda take all the tough questions.
Do you fly much?
Hey, I think I shared this story with Rhonda just a little while ago. I was flying back from New York recently on a Friday afternoon, and I was sitting next to a young woman who, born and raised here in St. Louis, she works in the fashion industry now in Manhattan. She was flying back, hadn't been back in quite some time, and was here for a family celebration. We get off the plane, we're walking through, I guess it would have been, Concourse C, and we get into the baggage area. And I'm walking right next to her, and she, unsolicited, she says, "My goodness, this place looks fantastic." And she was going on and on about just how Lambert looks inside now. And I couldn't agree with her more. I think the airport looks better than it ever has. And a lot of compliments to Rhonda and the whole team out there for what they've done.
Well, we've mentioned many times how important that is because mm-hmm. it's a first impression that a lot of people get of our community. And if it's a bad impression, it's the old saying.
You
only
have
one chance to make that that first impression. It's going to get even better from what I understand. Well, I do more than understand it because we talked about it this week with someone from the Magic House. A kid-friendly presence is going to evolve over the course of the next several months there. It's a fully funded project by Magic House that I'll have Carrie Hutchcraft, who is Director of Communications at the Magic House in Kirkwood, talk about it. We asked her what in the world Magic House is doing. What is planned?
The actual exhibit is going to be really a role-playing area for kids, and we're really kind of going off of the transportation theme. So kids will get to see sort of a behind-the-scenes airport operations. There'll be a plane there that they can climb in. We'll also have a train or a metro bus that they'll be able to kind of sit in, and it'll feel like the real thing for them. We also have an area of cars that Enterprise is so generously helping us to make possible. And in that area, kids will be able to sit in the car. They'll be able to act like rental professional that kind of shows some of the key places in St. Louis that they can visit while they're in town. And really, it's a role-playing experience.
How did this whole thing come about?
The idea was actually submitted through Rally St. Louis, a crowdsourcing and crowdfunding website that began in the end of last year. I think it was November 2012. And so the platform actually was a place where the community could go and suggest some ideas that they'd like to see to make St. Louis a better place. And so the idea was suggested to bring a Magic House play experience to the airport. And really, the idea of having this play space in an airport isn't anything new. A lot of airports across the nation are having these added in just to kind of help with that entertainment with those kids that have those long waits and the long layovers and then, of course, have to sit still once they're on the plane. It's a chance for them to really burn off a lot of that energy before they have to sit still for those long periods of time.
Was there any kind of competition with regard to what might be put out there for kids or for any kind of an additional facility at the airport?
Well, the idea that was submitted was actually recommending that it be the Magic House. So we were pretty lucky in the sense of, the Magic House idea was the one that the community kind of got behind and voted for to make us kind of push us into that funding stage. So, we were pretty lucky in that sense that we didn't have a lot of competition. I think nationally, having the Children's Museum work with the airport has been a common theme. And for anyone that's traveling, I know O'Hare Airport actually has their Chicago Children's Museum they partnered with and created this space. So we were pretty lucky in that the community saw us as a wonderful place that could create such a hands-on, fun exhibit to really engage those little travelers.
Security is such an issue at airports anymore. Does that come into play in any way with regard to what we're talking about here?
Well, we are lucky in that the actual experience of the exhibit will be post-security. So once everyone gets through those long lines, then they can come and play in the exhibit, which makes it a little bit nice that parents don't feel like they have to rush their kids out of there to then get in line for those long security lines. It's right inside, and we're in the main concourse, right after security in Concourse C.
So this is something that's going to be primarily for departing passengers as opposed to arriving?
Right. So for departing as well as anybody that has layovers or, stops off in St. Louis.
Yeah, I ask that because, we hear so much about how first impressions of communities are often created right at the airport for people who are coming in for the first time. So are they going to have an opportunity to see the Magic House?
They will. So really anyone, and the majority of travelers through Lambert actually are traveling through the area where we'll be. So anyone that's arriving in St. Louis has to pass by this area. Our hope is that, obviously it's going to help entertain these kids that are traveling and waiting there, but also that it is a welcome and kind of showcases what St. Louis truly is such a wonderful place for families to live and to visit. And so, our hope is that when they are walking through that they maybe do take a chance to stop in and play. And as a part of it, within the exhibit, we're going to have some of those suggestions of really cool things to do while you're in St. Louis. We are so lucky to have such amazing attractions here, beyond just the Magic House, of course. We'll be talking to all of those within that space. So it really is, a way that we can showcase St. Louis to all those travelers.
In any sense, is this something of a trial run? I understand that the permit for doing this is somewhat limited.
At this point, we aren't looking at having standalone Magic House experiences at any other location. This will be the first for us, and really, we felt like it was a really key place for us to be, being that there is that time that so many families have while they're, waiting for their flight. So at this point, we're not looking at any other places, but you never know what experiences we may have with it.
I read someplace that this was a 7-year commitment, that the permit was limited in that regard.
Yes. Yes, we are looking at a 7-year commitment, and from there we can decide if we want to renew. By that point, there certainly would probably be some updates we'd want to look at if we did decide to keep it any longer than that.
Well, Carrie, thanks so much for being with us. We'll all be looking forward to what ultimately comes of this project, and we don't have too long to wait, and that's good.
No. We'll be up and running by the next big travel season.
And that is Carrie Hutchcraft, Director of Communications at the Magic House in Kirkwood. And obviously you've heard about the facility there that will be opening up sometime in the middle of next year, wearing out the children before they get on the plane. I'm sure flight attendants are will be happy about that. Something new. Something's always going on at the airport, Rhonda, right?
There is. And you know, I just to tag on to that, one thing I'd like to kind of highlight is what we've, you know, I felt like there was a lack of a link from the community to the airport. And so we have focused very heavily the past few years on trying to connect Lambert to the city and all the wonderful things. So when you come through today, you see a lot of stuff from local artist work that we're doing. You see lots of stuff that highlight the various museums that we have, the various sports teams that we have. So that when you land in Lambert, you feel like you're in St. Louis and you can connect the airport to the rest of the city.
Would Lambert be affected in any way, given all the talk and some early steps talking about the city reentering the county, for instance, and getting rid of some of the fragmentation that we're all familiar with? How might Lambert be affected by any moves of this sort?
Well, from a physical, you know, there would be nothing from a physical change. It really comes more in the management change. It would be run by an authority versus I'm an appointee of the mayor of the city of St. Louis. So, you know, there, when you normally have an airport that is joined in forces like that between a county and a city, there's an authority and it's a little bit different governing board. So that's the piece that would probably change that, you know, maybe somewhat on the front end. But I think for the, you know, it brings a lot of great opportunities in looking at it that of things that could be combined. I mean, we are a city in ourselves today and have a lot of independent entities there. So there's a lot of benefits that come through trying to look at it as a Port Authority run type airport.
Right. We have a tweet here that I'd like to read. It's from someone describing him or herself as incredibly curious. More healthy food options, please. More no artificial anything. Also, airport needs something art. Oh, airport needs art, river-themed perhaps.
Okay. We are doing a lot with art, so I encourage that tweeter to come spend a day with us at the airport, and we'll show you. We now have about 15 different art pieces at the airport, all of which have been local artists, but one. We're finishing one up today at our Metrolink platform. So it's a really cool piece from Amy Chang, an artist out of New York. So we are moving in that direction, and I agree with you on that. On the healthy food side, most customers will be glad to know we have a Jamba Juice coming. For those of you who are health nuts, it's a great opportunity that should be opened here. Hopefully in the next month or so, it'll also be on the C concourse. And we have themed away from the typical food court type setup and tried to go to more restaurants that have healthier choices. So you also hear the complaint or the question from others saying, you know, I want the fast food. Where's it at? So you have to balance that. But we are trying to certainly ensure that we have some healthy options.
I have a call here that I can't take. Time won't allow it, referencing parking at Lambert. Now, that's going to become less expensive, right? Is it not?
No.
No.
It'd be the opposite.
I read something someplace indicating that they were cutting the rates.
No, we raised them in April. Uh-huh. But the you know, it's a supply and demand issue. Our garages were full every day, and what we were seeing was a lot of the consumers using them for the meet and the greet customer. And we want those for the overnight customer who needs to travel in and out and really needs to quickly utilize their time and get in and out. So what we did was we created the cell phone lots, which are free. They're on both the east and the west end of the terminal. We've had the west end cell phone lot for probably 5 years now, but we opened the east end this year. And we encourage all those customers that are doing the short term, you know, meet and greet mom and dad or grandpa to use the free cell phone light and then pick them up at curbside. So when we instituted the change back in April, we did increase the rates in the especially to try and encourage those who use it for an hour or less to use the free cell phone lots.
Okay. Well, we've run out of time. 10 and 15 seconds. Anything you'd like to add? Was give Rhonda a chance to catch her breath.
No. Rhonda took all the tough questions here. Yeah. I'm just appreciative that that you would do a show like this and reinforcing the impact that this airport has on this region and the tying it as well to, as Dan said, business attraction. It's an important asset, and let's support it. Let's build upon it and watch it grow.
Well, Tim Nowak, thanks so much for being with us. It's good to see you
thank
again.
You.
And Rhonda Hamner-Briggy, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.
Continued good luck and success at the airport, the most important asset, needless to say.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll have a holiday rebroadcast of our discussion about the uptick in television production in St. Louis. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.